Past Tense by Lee Child, read by Jeff Harding. Chapter 1. Jack Reacher caught the last of the summer sun in a small town on the coast of Maine. And then, like the birds in the sky above him, he began his long migration south. But not, he thought, straight down the coast. Not like the orioles and the buntings and the phoebes and the warblers and the ruby-throated hummingbirds. Instead, he decided on a diagonal route, south and west, from the top right-hand corner of the country to the bottom left, maybe through Syracuse and Cincinnati and St. Louis and Oklahoma City and Albuquerque, and onward all the way to San Diego, which for an army guy like Reacher was a little too full of Navy people, but which was otherwise a fine spot to start the winter. It would be an epic road trip, and one he hadn't made in years. He was looking forward to it. He didn't get far. He walked inland a mile or so and came to a county road and stuck out his thumb. He was a tall man, more than 6'5" in his shoes, heavily built, all bone and muscle, not particularly good-looking, never very well-dressed, usually a little unkempt. Not an overwhelmingly appealing proposition. As always, most drivers slowed and took a look and then kept on going. The first car prepared to take a chance on him came along after 40 minutes. It was a year-old Subaru wagon, driven by a lean, middle-aged guy in pleated chino pants and a crisp, khaki shirt. Dressed by his wife, Reacher thought. The guy had a wedding ring. But under the fine fabrics was a working man's body, a thick neck and large red knuckles. The slightly surprised and somewhat reluctant boss of something, Reacher thought. The kind of guy who starts out digging post holes and ends up owning a fencing company. Which turned out to be a good guess. Initial conversation established the guy had started out with nothing to his name but his daddy's old frame and hammer, and had ended up owning a construction company, responsible for 40 working people, and the hopes and dreams of a whole bunch of clients. He finished his story with a little facial shrug, part Yankee modesty, part genuine perplexity, as in, how did that happen? Attention to detail, Reacher thought. This was a very organized guy, full of notions and nostrums and maxims and cast-iron beliefs, one of which was at the end of summer, it was better to stay away from both Route 1 and I-95, and in fact to get out of Maine altogether as fast as possible, which meant soon and sideways, on Route 2, straight west into New Hampshire, to a place just south of Berlin, where the guy knew a bunch of back roads that would get them down to Boston faster than any other way. Which was where the guy was going, for a meeting about marble countertops. Reacher was happy. Nothing wrong with Boston as a starting point. Nothing at all. From there, it was a straight shot to Syracuse, after which Cincinnati was easy, via Rochester and Buffalo and Cleveland. Maybe even via Akron, Ohio. Reacher had been in worse places, mostly in the service. They didn't get to Boston. The guy got a call on his cell after 50-some minutes heading south on the aforementioned New Hampshire back roads, which were exactly as advertised. Reacher had to admit the guy's plan was solid. There was no traffic at all, no jams, no delays. They were bowling along, doing 60 miles an hour, dead easy. Until the phone rang. It was hooked up to the car radio, and a name came up on the navigation screen with a thumbnail photograph as a visual aid. In this case, of a red-faced man wearing a hard hat and carrying a clipboard. Some kind of a foreman on a job site. The guy at the wheel touched a button, and phone hiss filled the car from all the speakers, like surround sound. The guy at the wheel spoke to the windshield pillar and said, "This better be good news." It wasn't. It was something to do with an inspector from a municipal buildings department and a metal flue liner above a fireplace in an entrance lobby.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?